Week again with all of you. We had a really good time in the CMC last week. It was the Chinese Mission Conference in Baltimore. Many people got sick there, including myself, and I know a lot of people have been suffering with sickness this season. It's been a hard one with coughing, and a lot of people have said that they wouldn't be here today because of that. I hope that God will help you if you're not feeling well, and we'll pray for you, and God will help you. And it's hard to get through, but God will help you through it, right? And He will help us through trials that we go through, even in sickness and not being able to go to church. I know it's, at least I believe that people want to be here. And I know that you want to be here by coming today and to honor God and to worship Him. We had a very challenging time at the conference as well. The theme was not an easy one. And so it kind of fits right in with what we have as a theme for our church this year. But I would like to start off not by saying that we have a hard theme, but that we have a powerful, exciting, life-changing, and great theme for our church this year, because it is one that came from prayer. It came as a result of the leaders of the church coming together and praying for a theme from God, and God provided this one. It was also a theme that stemmed from the Mission Sunday that we had back in October, and it was one that the preacher that day offered to us and said, "Not I, but Christ." And it's very immediate. It's a very immediate theme. You don't shy away from this kind of a theme. Not I, but Christ. If I were to say something like that and use my hand, right? Not I, but Christ. And I point to Him, and I make Him the focus of my life from now until the end of time. Right? We want people to know that we belong to Christ and we are committed to Him. And so these verses that Jesus speaks here in Luke are ones that we're going to take a look at today, and it's going to grow throughout the year, hopefully in every aspect of our church, right, from the children all the way up through the oldest person in the church, to say that Christ is the one who is the center of our lives. And that takes on different aspects as we go along. Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." If you take out your outline that's in your bulletin today, you can follow along. And I would like for you to take this home and put it in a place where you can pay attention to it. In fact, you can make a copy of it and put it in every room, in your house. You can put it in your car. But best of all, what you can do is you can memorize it and keep it inside of you and inside of your heart so that you'll remember it. It comes in different sections here, and it's important for us to be able to learn this together, so as we go along we will know what it is that our theme is and what we are doing in our church. The first part, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after Me," reflects Jesus acknowledging our freedom to choose. He says, "If anyone would come after Me." Right? And so He's challenging His disciples, He's challenging the people around Him to let them know in no uncertain terms what it means to be a Christian. Right? And it's good for you as a child of God to know that it's not a secret that you keep to yourself, that it's something that you want people to know. And so in order for you to do that, you need to know yourself what it means. Amen? You need to know who you are. You need to know what it means when you come here and when you're going out, and who you are to other people. But if you don't know yourself, then you're going to have a hard time letting other people know that. In fact, you're probably not going to want to tell people that, because you don't know what to tell them. Right? And so, "If anyone would come after Me," reflects this. There's a choice here, and God is really coming to us right directly with this today. If anyone would come after me. Mark 10:17-22 tells the story of a rich man who heard the call to discipleship, and he walked away. Why? Because he had a lot of money. Right? He knew that he would have to separate himself from that. It would have to be Christ first. Right? If you want to come after me, Jesus said to him, go and sell everything you have. And right away, this is the part where we don't want to feel like, wow, that's hard. We want to say, that's what it's about. That's what I want, because it's worth it. It's worth it to me. He's not saying to me, you know what? If you don't like the message, let me soften it for you. You know what? I can see that you're struggling with this, and I really want you to come to our church, and I want you to be a Christian just like I am. So you know what? I'll just give you a little bit of room there, and you can just kind of slide into this and make it a convenient thing for yourself, so that whatever's going on in your life, you can just keep doing that, and then you can be a Christian too. If you have time on Sunday. And if you don't, you can just, you know, just don't come. It's all right. You don't have to read the Bible unless you really have to and something bad happens to you. It's only when something bad happens that you can be a Christian. Now, how does that sound? Does that fit your lifestyle better? Do you think Christianity sounds better now? Right, we're all thinking, of course it doesn't sound better. Why would we apply something like that to Christianity when we wouldn't do that in our own lives, in our business or in our family lives? You know what? You're my kid, but you know, if you don't ever want to talk to me ever again, that's fine with me. You can just go and do what you want. You can just do, you know, whatever fits your lifestyle. Right? You know what? I want to, you know, marry you, but if you want to continue seeing other people, then go ahead. That's all right, you know, because I want you to be happy. Right? It costs the relationships, right? In our daily lives, in our private lives, we expect something. It's going to cost something. And that's what Jesus is saying. So it doesn't make any, it's really no difference at all, right, with ourselves and him. If he means something to us, and he's given us himself, and our sins are forgiven, and we have eternal life, and we recognize that there's forgiveness because Jesus Christ has given himself for us, and we can have a life that is free from all the sin and pain, then wouldn't we want to say, yes, I will go, and I will do, and I'm going to come after you. There's no if, right? In my mind, it's just Jesus that I want. Luke 14:8-28 has a very, very powerful message in it. It talks about estimating the cost. And it talks about a builder. If a builder is going to build something, they have to estimate the cost. What is it going to take to get this done? And Jesus says you have to estimate the cost in your life too. Right, and so God is challenging us. He's bringing us to that point of a powerful, exciting moment of truth where we're saying, I am actually going to put everything into my life as a Christian. I'm not going to be one of these people that believes sometimes and makes it convenient. I am convinced in my heart that this is what I need, and I'm going to do it because Jesus is worth it. Right? I'm going to estimate, but I'm going to take time. David Platt, a really great speaker down at the conference this week, told people at the end of this, after he had preached this great sermon, it was really powerful, and he said to everybody, okay, now comes the time when you are going to make a decision, and don't go into this decision lightly. I thought it was a fantastic thing to say. He said, you need to count the cost. Don't raise your hand because you feel at this moment that it's just this emotional thing that you've heard a sermon and you've heard these things this weekend and you want to do something and so you just put your hand up there. He said, do not go into this lightly. I remember Billy Graham doing the same thing when he spoke at Urbana many years ago. He said, do not dare to go into this calling lightly. You must be sure of what it is that you're raising your hand that you're going to do, because the road before you is not going to be easy. It's not easy. It's the best thing, but it's not an easy way. You need to count the cost. And how do you do that kind of a thing? Well, you use your mind and your heart and you say, you know what, I'm gonna take some time from my life away from all the things that are grabbing at me and wanting of my mind and my time, and I'm gonna spend time with God, and I'm going to sit down and I'm gonna think who I am and where I'm going, and I'm going to do that so that my Christianity is not simply by name only, but it is lived out in my life. And Jesus is not going to have it any other way. You can't be a halfway Christian. You can't be a three-quarter Christian. You can't be whatever it is beyond that, closer to the full. It's the full deal or nothing. And it can't be any other way. Right? And so this is what God is challenging our church with this year. What kind of a difference is that going to make in our lives? And there must be some reason that God wants us to do this. And so that's exciting. Right? It's powerful. But it's exciting, it's dangerous, but it's also thrilling. Because when we give our lives fully to Christ, then we are going to experience things that are going to change the world. Why? Because Jesus is a life changer. He is a world changer. He came into a world that was darkened by sin, and he brought his light into it and shone into this darkness and illuminated it. And those who were glad to see him followed him. Yes, I have been waiting for this word, this name, Jesus, to come into my life to set me free from the burden of sin. And we all know that. We have sin, don't we? So that's the first part. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. An amazing statement here. An amazing statement here, and this is the one that gets very, very scary, because people think you have to become less than you are. It doesn't mean that. Denying yourself does not mean that you are less worth. Or you can't be somebody. Right? You are who you are. Right? You are who you are. But what Jesus is talking about here, I like the way Greg Ogden says that. He says, to deny yourself means to deny your self-lordship. You deny your self-lordship. I'm not the Lord any longer of my life. I'm giving the lordship and being master of my life over to Jesus Christ. He's now my master. And that's what they called him, Lord. You are my master. Teacher, master, I follow you. I do what you say. That's what I was saying to the kids, right? It's the same kind of thing. I'm going to follow what God tells me to do. Because he loves me, and he died for me, and he gave me eternal life. I want him to be my master. I want to follow him. I want to do what he says to do, because he's the best. He's the greatest. There isn't anyone else. He's the creator of mankind. And he's the savior of mankind. So, of course, I want to do that. I want to be with him. And I want to know more about him, right? And he goes on, he says this too. Jesus calls us to say no to ourselves so we can say yes to him. Saying no to myself. Right? I want to make sure that you understand this is not like a decision where you're saying, okay, does that mean I can't be the profession that I had studied for all these years? Does it mean that I can't be somebody? Does it mean that I have to give up, you know, all these different things that I've been pursuing in life? Not necessarily, but maybe. But God is saying, I know what's best for you. I know what is best for you. Deny yourself, deny your own lordship, and put your life in my hands, and then you will truly understand where it is that you're supposed to be in your life. And if it means that you're supposed to continue on in the same place, then so be it. If it means a different direction, so be it. But Jesus is saying you need to deny yourself. You become less. I am greater. I am the Lord of your life. Okay? Take up your cross. Take up your cross, compelled to abandon all earthly hopes and ambitions for the sake of Christ. Take up your cross. The cross was a symbol of death, of criminality, of someone who had done something terrible and they're going to pay the worst kind of a punishment for it. And it's saying here, you have to pick up your cross. At the time when Jesus was saying this to the people, that would have been really strange to hear. Right? The cross, any association with the cross there would have been something that they would feel like, wait a minute. You know, that is reserved for criminals and for people that really deserve to die. And then Jesus is saying, yeah. You have sin in your life, and you deserve to die, but I am going to the cross to die for you. I am going to the cross to die for you. And so when you pick up that cross, it means we're compelled to abandon earthly hopes and ambitions for the sake of Christ. We're giving up all these kind of things and saying, God, what it is that you want, not what I want. I want to take a little bit of a step away from here and talk about some things that will help to give you an idea of the different levels that we can understand this. At the CMC, they were talking about people going into the world to be missionaries, right? To go to the unreached people of the world and to say, we want to go there because God is calling us and we're commanded to go, and so we're going to go there. Right? And we were all sitting there and listening to these words and thinking in our minds, there's so many reasons why we can't go. Right? There's so many different things that come into our mind that will keep us from going over there and doing that. And it's a lot of things that we have to give up. And that's true. God could call us to that point in our lives where we have to go somewhere and help people who don't know Jesus to know him. I'll tell you a story about that in a second from one of the examples we heard this week. But the other part of it that we need to understand when Jesus is telling us that we need to pick up our cross daily means this, that in our lives, and this is important for our church here, that we need to be understanding that when we have something that we have not forgiven someone else of, we are not taking up our cross and following Jesus. It's great to talk about missionaries. It's great to talk about going out into the world. It's great to be talking about being witnesses. Yes, I am going to leave everything behind and I'm going to go there. And I really believe that that's important. But if we do not forgive one another, if we do not love one another, as Jesus said, that we are not his disciples, where are you not loving someone today? Where are you not loving someone today? Who is it in your life that you are not loving? Commit it to God. Take up your cross. Forgive that person. In fact, call them or write them immediately when you leave this place and bring yourself into that relationship with that person so that you can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. How are you going to go to the other places that Jesus is calling us to go to if you can't do that here? How can a church function when we have people that are fighting with each other within the church and demanding their own way and saying that we have to do this way, and if not, and then they go into worship and they sing songs about Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I'm going to pray in confession of my sins now, and then I'm going to hear a sermon, and then I'm going to go home again afterwards, I'm going to fellowship with people like that, but that guy, or that woman, or that girl, or that boy, I am not going to talk to them because you would not believe what they did to me. Do you hear me? Are you hearing it? That is what we have to do when we pick up the cross. We die to ourselves. We die to ourselves. And we say, Jesus, forgive me. because I'm a sinner and I haven't gotten it into my mind what it means to really live as a Christian. So let me begin there, and that's where we're beginning, on the first Sunday of this new year. We want to get things in order. Jesus is the Lord. He is my master. I need to listen to Him. I cannot have any kind of bad feelings or anything but love for people, because He loved me, and He died for me, and He rose again so that I can have love. And if you're holding back there, then hold up your hand now and just say, Jesus, forgive me. You can do it right now. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. And I'll say it. Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on my soul. And help me to love as You loved us. Take up your cross daily. Every day. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. And that's what God is calling us to do. Start there. Okay, start there today. Somebody in your family? Somebody that you're harboring something in? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? You need to get it in order. Take up your cross. If you want to follow Jesus and you want to come after Him, if you want to be His disciple, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. And you know what happens when that happens? I can go to China. I could go to Russia. I can go anywhere. Because my conscience is telling me that I am picking up my cross at home. And I'm following Jesus. And unless I do that, I'm not ready to go anywhere. We don't want a smooth icing on a cake and make it sweet. Okay, it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and everybody knows this in their heart of hearts, that we have things that we need to take care of that are not right before God. And so He's saying that's where you want to start here. And if our church does that, then things will grow. Daily, commitment, daily. It's important that Jesus said that. Pick up your cross daily, each day. And one of the things that I know that is very important to Minister Can and to me as the pastor and minister of this church is that we have a sign from the commitment of the people in this church to Bible study, spending time in God's Word regularly. Right, that everyone establishes a daily time with God. And if you think I have it all together, think again. I struggle all the time. You know why? Because I get up in the morning and all these different things come into my mind of things that have to be accomplished. All these people that have to be hear something. You know, it's like a machine gun of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You better just forget about God, man. You talk about forgetting about God, right? We were just saying that. Forget about God. I forget about Him all the time. It takes me 2 seconds and I've forgotten Him. You can get up from your knees on the floor and you can say, now I've prayed. All these things come into your mind. They flood in and all of a sudden God is... whew, pushed far away again, and you're like, wow, that didn't take long. All I did was get up off my knees for praying, and I'm back to the same old me. But Jesus has to be master. He has to be master when I get on my knees and when I get up off my knees, and He has to be there to guide me through these things. Right? And it's the safest place to be. Right? I wrote these things down. Each day in prayer with our Lord, spending time with the Word of God and witnessing to others to whom we belong. To whom we belong, meaning we belong to Jesus. A daily taking up of the cross reflects the effect of Jesus' sacrifice for our lives and our hearts. And we're committed to living the love of Christ each day we're given. That's what it takes, that kind of commitment, each day. And if you say that you can't do it, then I can tell you you can do it, because I know that people do it every day for their work, and they do it every day for their schoolwork. Haha. You see? We all do that. I can't do that. I can't make God first. But if my teacher tells me to prepare a paper for that, I'm going to stay up all night and get it done, and I'm going to bring it in that so that I can tell that teacher that I've done my work. I have something, a deadline at work, and I'm going to work and work and work, and I'm going to make all hours of the day, and I'm going to commit it to God, to myself, and to my job, because my boss is telling me it's got to get done. But God can wait. He can wait. The creator of the universe, who gave me my life, who gave me my job, who gave me the ability to go to school, gave me parents who are putting me through public school or whatever college it is that we go to, they're all more important, because they're the ones that are giving me something that I want. But boy, if any one of those, including my parents, ever try to go against what I want by telling me I can't do it, forget them. They don't love me. The only way that my parents love me is when they tell me I can do stuff. When I complain loud enough and I say, I want to go and do this and this and this and this, and if you don't do that, then I'm just not going to talk to you. Or I'm going to think nasty thoughts. There was a girl. I don't mean to harp on this. I'll get to the adults in a minute. There was a girl that was going to our church. She came from a very godly family. Her grandfather and grandmother were in the church as pastor and pastor's wife for many years. And they had an association with the church for many years. And I used to pick her up to take her to Friday night Bible study with her sister. And I got to know this family pretty well. I was an advisor there. And it came time for all the prom things to happen in high school. And so everything was up in an uproar. People getting limousines. We have to buy this. We have to spend money for this. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's gotten more and more money than you can imagine. When I went to the prom, it was expensive enough. But now it's like it's become this business. And these two girls never mentioned it. They never went. And they're still alive today. Can you believe it? They're still alive. They're still breathing. In fact, they both have great husbands, and both of them have kids. And they're thriving, and they're involved in God's work. And they survived. They didn't go to the prom. They, you know what they did? They obeyed their parents. Their parents didn't feel it was good for them to go. It was too much money or whatever it was. And they obeyed their parents. And very quietly, God was pleased with their example, because they were listening to what their parents said. Now let me make you feel a little bit better. When I was going to the prom, this is what I said. You better let me go to that prom. You better let me go, because I'll tell you what. And by the grace of God, I'm still here alive today. I'm serious. Read it in the Old Testament. Read about what happens to people who talk to their parents that way. You give me what I want or else. And that's the kind of society that we're buying into, and that's the kind of society we live in, and it happens too much. Right? But what about listening to what you're being told? Who is the master of your life? And I won't even go into some of the other things that go on at proms, because that is exactly what my mother was concerned about. And she was right. And you don't need me to tell you what goes on. So this is where we are, right? Now what about adults? Where do you stand before God? Where is God in your life? How are you growing in your relationship with Him? What is the equivalent of a prom for you in your life, adults, where your Heavenly Father is saying, this is what I want you to do, and you're ignoring Him because you say, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. Does that fit in the Christian life? I don't want you. I don't want anything you're telling me to do. I don't want you to tell me I need to improve my language. I don't want to tell you to tell me that I need to be studying the Word of God. I don't want you to tell me that I'm supposed to love my enemies. I don't want you to tell me anything like that, but I'm going to determine when I go to worship you and how I do it. And that's what God is trying to say to us. Isn't it great? It's taken away all of the me and replacing it with Him. Me worship is a thing of the past. Now it begins with Jesus worship. He's the one that deserves my life. When we start to do things like that, by obeying God and by obeying our parents and by doing the things that God is demanding of us, this old world that is so chaotic and on a road to destruction suddenly starts to take a turn. Because there are people who are standing on the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, and that is what we need in this world. And don't you forget it. When you begin to do the things that Jesus is saying for you to do, then you are victorious. In a way that nobody is going to know about it. Just like those two girls didn't make a big deal of all the kind of things, but we noticed that they were obeying their parents by not doing something that they didn't want them to do. And it made an impact on my life. And it speaks louder than words. You get noticed through those things. And if you go to work, you young people, when you go to work, you will be noticed for your trustworthiness, for your faithfulness, for your commitment, for your steadfastness in the face of adversity. You will be noticed for small things in the view of this ugly world, but you will be noticed, and most of all, you will be noticed by God. And He sees a person, a girl or a boy, and He says, that is a person I can build on. And then you start to see the world change. Because of whom? Jesus. And that is what God is giving us for our theme. Follow me. To go with Jesus where He asks us to go. A follower of Christ is one who believes He is the Son of God. And only through Him can true meaning be found in life into eternity. A follower of Christ believes His words and abandons all else because there is no one better. A follower of Christ loves Him and is prepared to tell others at every opportunity about the loving Savior. Does that describe you? Make it so today. Commit yourself to God. Repent of your sins. Follow Him. Repair relationships with God first, and then repair relationships with one another. And our church is going to fly, man. It is going to be flying in the sky. It is going to be pleasing God. It is going to reach out into people. People are going to hear about it. You know why? Because God is greater than these four walls. He is going outside with you to say, I am committed to Jesus Christ, and He is the one that I follow. He's my master. He's the one I want. And He will build on your life when you show your commitment to Him. If you turn to the backside of your bulletin today, the outline, I want to go through a few things with you. First of all, the best place to start right now for you and me today is to begin to count the cost of following Christ in your life. Begin to count the cost. Sit down and look at your life and write things down and say, Lord, I'm going to work this out. What is it going to take for me to really be a Christian now in my life, to exhibit it? What's the cost? What's it going to cost you? Do you know how easy it is to go to someone in your family and to tell them, you know what, I'm sorry and I love you, let's put this behind me and us? Do you know how easy that is? Do you know how easy it is to go to someone that you've been upset with in your life and to say that to them? That's what we're supposed to do. What would you say, I missed a word, what would you say if someone you know said something against Jesus in your life? I've had that happen. What would you do? What would you say if someone you know said something against Jesus? Would you laugh along and join the crowd, or would you stand up for Jesus? Number three, pray for the Muslim school across from our church on Bergen Avenue. What thoughts come to mind when you think of one day telling a Muslim that Jesus loves them and died for them? There was a couple at the CMC who went to a country where there were Muslim people, and they learned the language there, and they met a woman, and after they had learned the language and could converse with her about Jesus Christ, they went to her and they told her that Jesus loved her. Do you know what she said? Jesus loves me? I thought Jesus was only for Christians. Now, isn't that amazing? We're thinking in our minds, they'll never want him. Never in a million years. They are against everything we believe in. And this lady says, he loves me, and she breaks down crying, and she receives Jesus as Savior. And I went up to them afterwards, and I said, you know what? We have a school right across from the street. Every time I walk out from the church, I can see that school, and I see all these Muslim kids going there. Thank you for telling me that story. What should I do? And he said, begin to pray for them as a church. Now, that's something we can do, isn't it? You do like to pray, don't you, church? Let's see it. Let's see it. Right across the street. Who's across the street from you? Pray for God to give you a renewed sense of commitment to prayer and to study of His Word. Pray to God. That's what Samuel said today. Pray. Pray for a heart that seeks to serve in short-term mission with our church. Pray that God will help you to commit to a discipleship class at church. If you don't know what a discipleship class is, you will, because we're going to have them. And pray that God would lead you to start a discipleship small group with 2 to 4 people. Now, I just want to tell you at the end here that there are two resources that I want to mention that we've used here in our church with different people since I came to this church. The first one is Greg Ogden's Discipleship Essentials. And there are people in our church who have the experience and the class, had taken that class, and they possess this book and the knowledge that was in that book to start another group. And that is what this is all about. You go through the book with someone and you study it with them, and then you continue to do it with someone else. You become a teacher and a discipler, a maker of disciples. The other one is NAV Press, the DFD Design for Discipleship. It's 7 short books, but very powerful books by the navigators that you can begin to use in your own life and to be able to start a small group with, so that you can start to grow in this way. And so there's, I don't know how many people sitting in this room, but that's the place to start. Right? And the worst thing you can do is to start to think of reasons why you can't. Right? I told you, the biggest impression that the people have made in my life, one of them was a guy who I met in Germany, a military guy in the army, who told me that he had a friend from the army coming over at his table every week to sit down and read the Bible with him. That's what we need to be doing. You look at your furniture and your house, and you think, how can I use this for God's glory? that table, that chair that is empty now and sitting there for the most of the week by itself looking nice is now going to be put into use by having a human body inhabit it and sit down with me, and I am going to open up my belief in Jesus Christ. And I may not know everything and I may not know much, but I do know Jesus, and that is what I'm going to spend my time with. Because there's people in this world who are dying, and they don't know who the Jesus that I know, and I'm a follower of his, and he is my master, and he told me to go and make disciples. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care if I have an exam the next day, and I don't care if I have a timeline that I have to meet at work, and I don't care what it is, but I'm going to guard that with my life, because that human body is more important to me than anything else, because he's important or she's important to God. And that's the way that I'm going to influence the people in this church, by showing them that I'm taking it seriously. And I'm also going to influence my family members, because I'm going to show them that I'm listening to what God is saying to me in his word. I am going to follow Jesus and take up my cross and daily and follow him. That is how I'm going to be defined this year. This is what I'm going to do. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day you can begin to know him and follow him. And we have a baptism on Easter, and you can take classes to be leading to that point, to give God your life. And that's what it's all about. And that's what this powerful verse, it's one verse that we have, one short phrase for our church here, not I but Christ. Where is that going to be in your mind today? Let us pray. God, we thank you for this powerful, powerful verse, and we pray, Father, that you'll help us to be honest with you with our lives. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves and to be able to count the cost of following you and to see where that means. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, that they will be baptized this Easter, that they will say that you are most important and that they're going to give their life to you, and they're not going to listen to anybody else in their life. We're going to listen to your voice. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who is holding a grudge against anybody or who is unforgiving in their heart, Father, that time of misery will be over today, and that they can give that over to you, and that they can be reunited with that person and pleasing God, and the angels will sing and there'll be a big celebration. And I pray, Father, that our church together, this church, Grace Church, that you have formed here, that Jesus Christ is the head of, will exemplify the peace and the grace and the love that he has given to us, and that we will spend every ounce of our energy in being disciples that truly love one another. Lord, we thank you for this exciting theme, and we thank you for this lesson. Use it for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.